Joe, I appreciate in your prayers mentioning those of our number served that have passed on, and truly honor for them also, as the armies of this world will all pass away, but the army of God will always survive. You know, there are a lot of accounts in the Old Testament that cause us to lift up God's power. And in humility, thank Him for letting us see it. One of these great accounts is that of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah was a great prophet, and he saw his people falling away from God. And he called them to leave their idols and to return to God. One thing about Elijah, he was not afraid of what he was going up against. He was not afraid to tell Ahab and Jezebel that they were wrong. Those two individuals did more to erode the spiritual desire for God than anyone else before them. And they were wicked, to say the least. And Elijah's love for his people and his country called for drastic measures. He prayed to God that God would discipline the land of Israel in order to be able to the children to come back. In 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, he told Ahab there at that point that it would not rain upon the land. Now, can you just imagine just for a moment here in our great country, if we would be as a nation that had to go without? Imagine if it did not rain across this whole country for 3.5 years. What would we, our families, and the people of this country face? I can just imagine what the children of Israel were going through those 3.5 years. At the end of that time, in the very next chapter in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah met again with King Ahab and the prophets of Baal and all these people, the children of Israel, on Mount Carmel. And there, Elijah let God show himself through the power of fire as it came down and consumed the altar and all that was on it. When we get done reading that account, it's kind of like we want to do a fist pump and say, yes, God defeated them. There's nothing on this earth, nothing that man has ever devised that could come close to the power that God did at that point. Wouldn't it be great if we had that kind of power in the lives of God's servants today, to be able to call upon God and see immediately a correction that is needed? If you will, let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 5. Listen to what James writes in verses 16 through 18. These three verses. And he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Can power like that work in our lives as Christians today? Yes, it can. Because the power was never man's to begin with. It has always been and always will be the power of God. Today, we want to hear the call of God for us to become a people of prayer. And we want to see the result of righteous people praying in faith. I just want you to ask yourself, to yourself, how much of your time during the day is devoted to prayer? I know there are some who pray an awful lot. And I don't necessarily always mean to get down on your knees and spend 2 or 3 hours there. A friend of ours from Homestead liked to use the word arrow prayers. When something would come up really quickly, she'd just shoot a real quick prayer up there for God. And sometimes maybe that's just what we have time for. James, he teaches us to turn to prayer in our times of trouble and times of sickness, and that during these times we also need to lean on people of faith to help us come before the throne of grace and find healing in our Lord. In verses 13 through 16 in James chapter 5, I want us to notice the message that James talks about. He should pray, and then call for the elders to pray. And then finally, confess our sins to one another. You look at those verses, and it's something I never saw before, that kind of progression, until I was preparing this week for that lesson. Point is that prayer is both personal and collective. Prayer is expected, and also prayer expects results. How many times do we pray and it's like we don't see anything happening? We expect results. What James does for us is give us a call to pray. You know, in our minds, we might say, I want this or I want that, but if we make no effort to take care of those things. You know, the thing about life is it's made up of victories and tragedies, of joy and sorrow. There never seems to be a complete one side all the time. We would love to be able to face every day with joy and triumph. Illness and sickness trips us up. You know, our indiscretions, our sins, it's kind of like we're running down the street and all of a sudden somebody throws a rope out there among our feet and we get tangled up in it and we fall. There are days we get up, we have no idea what to expect. How much fun would life be if we could predict the outcome? How much fun would life be? How much enjoyment would we get if every day we knew exactly how our day was going to play out? I think life would become very boring, wouldn't you? Because if we knew that the next day was going to be a lot of problems out there, we'd stay in bed. And we'd wait for the next day to come along and say, well, that day's supposed to be pretty good. I'll get up then. But where would we be as parents if we didn't face the trials we have today to be able to help our children who are going to face the same things, to be able to overcome these things? You know, we can, any one of us who have faced tragedy or sickness, something that has come on really quick, we can understand that our lives can change in just a matter of seconds. We all know how sin can devastate and destroy the lives. And there are many today who are living the consequences of wrong choices. What James says is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. It is one of those what we call an imperative command. David writes in the 34th Psalm in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Have you ever wondered how maybe some people that you know can go through the trials of their lives and never pray about any of it? They just go from one to the next. Oh, woe is me. What kind of a relationship do we have with God if we're not willing to communicate with Him on a regular basis? Our relationship between our Creator gets stronger with each and every communication we pass between us. We need to know also that He is listening to our hearts and that He knows us. James also says, is any of you sick? And he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm thinking, okay, we don't have elders. Okay, who do we call? There are spiritual folks in this congregation that I would call in a minute if there was something that I desperately needed prayers for. There are a lot of you that I would pick up the phone and call. There are times when things just get too big for us to handle alone. And at that point, it is our responsibility to ask for help. You know, how many times have we heard afterwards that someone was really sick and we never knew anything about it? And then it's like, well, nobody called. Well, nobody knew. We have that responsibility to ask for help from others. So many think that they should come to us when we're sick or in times of trial. But James here, he puts his finger on something different. He says that the person who is sick, the person who is facing the trials, it is their responsibility to call for others to come and pray. In this case, James talks about being sick. And I guess we could say that that would be a very generic term. Because there's all kinds of sickness that we face. There's the physical sickness, there's the mental sickness, and there is certainly the spiritual sickness. But then he says he should call for the elders. Now I know this passage, maybe it might cause some difficulties for some, but we need to make sure that we understand the fullness of the truth being given to us here by James. We call for the elders, or let me say the spiritual leaders, or those who are spiritual. We call for them, not because we can't pray alone to God, not because they have any special powers that we don't have, and not because their oil is miraculous. We call these folks so that they can help us deal with what is going on in our lives. The elders represent the collective body, and in this case, those who shepherd the body. These are spiritual men. So when we are really in desperate need, who do we really want having their prayers going up to heaven on our behalf? These verses tell us how any Bible-believing church responds to sickness in its midst. You know, oil in the Bible is oftentimes used as a symbol of health and vitality. Kings were anointed with it as a visible symbol of God's presence. Samuel anointed David with oil. And the same is true here. It's nothing magical about it. There's no healing properties or supernatural properties in it. But it is, for us, a humble reminder that all healing comes from God. And it tells us here that God is able, and He is here to take care of us and to heal us. We need to know that and notice that this anointing is done in the name of the Lord. And this is important because it reminds us that all blessings and all healing come from that ultimate source. Power is not in the elders, it's not in the oil, it's not in the spiritual people. It's not even in the prayers, but in the name of the Lord. Our prayers are just a communication means. The power is from God. Verses 15 and 16, James writes here that with this is the expectation that God will heal. That healing, at least in verse 15, is a spiritual healing. Again, the point becomes that we need to be covered in prayer. We need righteous people praying for us. Especially when our unrighteousness has made us spiritually sick. And you might be saying, well, we've all got problems, so how are we going to be able to pray for one another if we're still? Friends, you're here. You live each and every day not coming up with ways to violate God's commands, but living each day trying to obey. We fall short, but we do not intend to fall short. It just happens. It just happens. But righteous people are the ones who learn from their mistakes, the ones who have asked God for forgiveness and realized that they've been wrong. You know, we offer an invitation, but very few people take it. And I've always wondered about this and trying to understand certain things. And then it dawned on me one time that maybe there is a stigma that has been placed, or maybe a stigma that comes from asking for prayers from a small group or even a large congregation. Maybe we just really don't want people to know that we're having and facing difficulties and problems. Maybe it's too embarrassing. Maybe it's too personal. How sad is it when Christians are afraid to ask other Christians to pray for them? How sad is that? How sad is it because the reason they don't is they fear a judgmental attitude by the ones that they feel and should believe are closest to them? I'd like us to end tonight where we began, with the account of Elijah. James wants to make it very clear that Elijah was just as human as you and I. No difference. Just like us. There were times when Elijah lived in fear. There were times when he was troubled. There was times when he wanted to die because he didn't know if he could take it anymore. And that's no different than any of us. But he prayed, expecting God to do something. And while he may not have always known what the action would be, he prayed with the expectation of God intervening. And that's what we need to do. Pray with the expectation that God will intervene. I hope we can pray like James is teaching us. I hope we can pray with the expectation of God at work among his people. You see, sometimes it's the only way we can get anything fixed. The praying is the only way that we can get our mind back on track and soothed, at least have a peace of knowing that we are trying to turn these things over to God and giving him the opportunity to use his power to make that change. If you're in need of prayer this evening for a trial that you're undergoing, maybe a trial might be an illness that affects your body. Maybe it's a spiritual illness. What you need to know is that you are welcome to come and ask for our prayers. Maybe you're now ready to obey the gospel and to put our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on in baptism and be a part of God's family. You need to know that you are among friends and family. And it is their desire with all their hearts that you do not delay. God loves you and so do we. If there is any that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.